With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Welcome to Face to Face. This is a show about change and about what's next. It's a show that wants to ask questions, peel back the layers of our average everyday experience, and go beyond scratching the surface. We interview amazing people with incredible ideas and stories who have done wild, weird, and wonderful things. Remember that imagination shared creates collaboration, and collaboration creates community, and community inspires social change. I'm David Peck, and this is Face to Face.
Let Me Fall is a powerful film. It's unforgettable, actually. The images, the performances, the story, it's based on a whole lot of truth. Baldwin, my guest, and I talk a little bit about that line between fiction and narrative and storytelling and what these stories actually point to, and that is a greater truth, it seems to me. Baldwin Z is here today to chat with me. He's my guest about his new film, Let Me Fall, at the Toronto International Film Festival. And like I say, it's a film that I'm not ever going to forget. And what a pleasure to have Baldwin on as a guest. And we bumped into each other in the street. And I, as we were walking by, I kind of joked with him about part two. And this is the kind of guy he is. He emailed me his contact information right there on the street. And by the time I'd made it to my next appointment, which was my next interview, I had it in my inbox. How cool is that? This is a film about friendship or the lack of friendship. This is about family. This is about community and about a young woman who is pretty much struggling with finding her place in life, it seems to me. This idea of yeah, calling a place home. And I don't mean that in a sense of a place where you can lay your head. That's part of it. But being a part of a community that matters. And Baldwin and I talk a great deal about this idea around community and friendship and so on. And this story that this young woman embarks on and Baldwin articulates for us so beautifully in this film is going to, I think, change the way you see the world for a variety of reasons. So stay tuned. Don't touch that dial. I hope I've lured you in a little bit, at least, to dive not only into the interview, but also to the film. And it's gorgeous. Absolutely stunning cinematography. And the performances that Baldwin gets out of the actors in this film are just astounding. So check it out. Let Me Fall. Baldwin Z from Iceland coming right up. Don't forget davidpecklive.com for more information about my speaking and writing, and face-to-facelive.ca for a whole host of other interviews coming up on 400 interviews, if you can believe that. That's quite incredible to me, but loving every minute of it. And if you are too, consider supporting what I do through patreon.com. Would certainly appreciate that. And if you can't do that, and that I totally get and totally understand, I would appreciate you leaving a review for me on face-to-face with regard to face-to-face on iTunes or Google Play or something along those lines. A little bit of digital diligence goes a long way. Coming right up, Baldwin Z and Let Me Fall. Well, welcome to Face to Face. We're joined by a very special guest today here, all the way from Iceland. I got it right. Baldwin C is here with us today. I was going to try to get your last name right. I'm so sorry. Can you tell us your
Sofanjason?
Sofanjason.
Yeah, very close.
Is that not bad?
That's not bad, because, I mean, Icelanders, they also have trouble with pronouncing my name. So,
is that right?
I'm cool.
Even Icelanders have trouble with your name. Yeah. Oh, so that makes me feel a little better. Thank you for that, and thank you for your time today. Welcome to Toronto. Welcome
to the
festival. You've been before.
Yeah, this is my third time here.
Yes.
I was here in 2010, but then I had a teenage film on TIFF Sprockets, which is like a TIFF Junior side festival in February. Very nice. But I was here 2014 with my second film, Life in a Fishbowl.
Which did pretty well, from what I understand.
Yeah, it did pretty well. We had like a record audience in Iceland attendance, and we a lot of prizes, and it was a very joyful ride.
Nice. What a beautiful way to describe it, a joyful ride.
Yeah.
that's great. And what's so lovely here, you and I are sitting up, I've never been in this building before in Toronto. We're on John Street, and it's a very interesting building.
Yeah.
We're in this little mini boardroom, and you're pretty much, I would say, your principal cast.
Yeah.
Is one floor below, hanging out in the lobby, and
yeah,
here for a photo shoot, are they?
Yeah, we have a photo shoot.
Fantastic.
Yeah, later on.
So good, so great to meet them. Congratulations on the film.
Thank you.
Heartbreaking.
Yes.
Beautiful. Moving. I mean, as a parent, as a human being, how could you not be pulled into this story? I mean, I could understand somebody saying, "Oh, I just can't watch this. It's too hard." It's gorgeous. It's a gorgeous film to watch. Very compelling. Can you start out with a homage to the memory of Kristin and Sisa? I believe. Can you tell us a little bit about the history of the film? It's taking you quite a while to get it to the screen.
Yes.
And I admire that commitment and passion. Where does this start? It starts in True Stories, my understanding, can you help us out a little bit before we get into the deeper part of our conversation?
Of course. Yeah. So back in 2011, I was working on this anti-drug campaign in Iceland. Back then, it was just a project for me. I just needed a job, and it was a paid job, so I went into it. But while I was working on that project, I got to know this diaries from Kristin Gerder. She had taken her own life a couple of years before. I heard her story. I talked to her parents, and I got the diaries, and I read through them. That was a life-changing moment for me when I read those diaries. After I read the diaries, I wanted to get to know what was happening in Iceland at that time, in 2011-12. So I met Johannes, who was a father of a girl named Sissa, who was the youngest addict that had died in Iceland back then. And he had done this very various news reports of drug addiction in Iceland a couple of years before. He was like a man on a mission, and he wanted to open eyes in Iceland that this was really happening there. And he led me into this world, and we got to know four different girls who were living on the street back then and doing drugs. One of them is no longer with us, but the other three, we spent like a year with them, and they were so nice to us, to let us in, me and Birgir, my co-writer, into their lives and tell us these incredible stories. And so from the diaries and from their stories, there we started to work on this script for Let Me Fall.
So you said you worked on the anti-drug campaign. So
yeah.
You're a filmmaker at this point already.
Yeah.
You got into it to make some extra money, but also because clearly you cared.
Yeah, of course I cared, but yeah. I was not nearly where I am today.
Right.
But, so
you didn't really have a good understanding.
How bad it really was. And I can say it now that. I really took the job back then because I needed the money also,
you know.
But now today I'm on a different place because of course this project has changed me as a human being, as a father, and how I look at things.
It's a challenging film at times, I think, as a parent to yes. watch, because one of the things that I think you do so beautifully, for me at least, was so many things, but the dynamic between Magna and her parents seems to be, I wouldn't say perfect, but it seems to be very good.
Yeah.
It seems like she has a great upbringing, a great family. They care about her. There's these moments. Her name is on the back of her bed. I love that kind of detail.
Yeah.
So how do you come to terms with that? I mean, you must have talked a great deal about that, the history. Like, I couldn't help. My background academically is in philosophy, so I just kept going, why? How? How do you end up here?
Yeah.
How is it that this series of experiences and choices and people that you know, Stella, of course, plays a huge role in her life.
Of course.
Talk to me a little bit about that, Baldwin.
If I would have chosen the other way to tell a story of a girl who comes from a broken background. And you know,
almost cliche in a way.
Almost cliche. Yeah. I mean, we heard that story many, many times. But what I found out when I was meeting those girls and reading those diaries, that these were smart kids, clever kids with good families. Of course, also broken families. But these are very, very smart kids. These are human beings like us. They went to school, they got good grades, and I was always asking myself, what happened? Mm-hmm, Why did you go this path? I don't have the answer, but I wanted surely to tell that story. I didn't want to go the typical cliche way. I wanted everybody to realize that anyone can go this way. Everybody can... Mm. You know, I could find myself in a couple of years dealing with this problem.
What's the quote from the New Testament? There, but for the grace of God, go I.
Right.
Isn't that kind of an Alcoholics Anonymous sort of saying as well? Right. We're not so far away.
Exactly.
So there's a humility in that.
Yeah. And. When I was casting the girls into this into those roles, they asked me also this question. I mean, these are just normal girls. Is this really? Does this happen? And Christine was so much inspiration for us who had the diaries, because she was like a class A student. She was the best. In everything that she did, she was the best student. She was the best singer. She was the biggest artist in her class. And she also writes in the diaries, "I was the best addict."
I was the best addict.
Yeah.
Wow.
I did the most. I went, farthest. It was so hard to read it.
So she was committed.
She was really committed. She writes the diaries when she is sober. She was sober for 7 years before she took her life. And one thing is to stop doing drugs. The other thing is to live with what has taken place before.
Right.
And that was something she couldn't handle.
Which comes out in the film with Stella's older character.
Exactly.
You move back and forth and quite a bit,
yeah.
Very disconnected. And I always have trouble, actually. Sometimes I'll be watching a TV show and that does that, and I'll have to stop and ask my wife, Elizabeth, what's going on again?
Yeah.
What did I just miss?
Yeah.
Because I get rooted in a moment.
Yeah.
And I'm reflecting on that. And then, whoa, where am I now? Anyway, which is why I think you need to watch films, great film, and read great books more than once.
Yeah.
The disconnected like nature of it, I couldn't help but think about. I mean, this is how we remember.
Yeah.
This is how we live too, is disconnected. It's choppy. Weird things happen along the way.
Of course,
It's not linear. It's, and I don't think enough filmmakers engage their audiences that way.
Right.
Obviously a conscious decision for you.
Yeah, of course.
Is that something that you take to all your filmmaking?
I think so.
Mm.
Yeah. Have you seen my last film, Life in a Fishbowl?
I did not see.
No. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I think you should watch it.
I will.
Yeah. There is a hint of that in that film.
Right.
Um, But
well, some people would say postmodern, but or it's like postmodern filmmaking. But I actually kind of disagree, because I think it's actually very realistic and very representative of the way we live.
Yeah, exactly. Know,
and the way we remember and so on. So the fractured like nature of it, and especially for the life of a drug addict, I can only imagine how fractured it must really be. How much of how much of you is in this film?
I
don't mean that. Your drug addicted past.
No. And I think I have a little bit in both Magna and Stella. But the smallest amount of me in a project is in this project. But Life on a Fishbowl, it had a huge part of me in that film. Probably because both Life on a Fishbowl and Jitters that I did before, it were a project that I sort of got the idea from my experience in life, but this one was different because I had the story came from outside. So I think that's why I don't have much of me in there. But I mean, I had my teenage years, and there were worries about me from my parents and from my siblings at the time. So I know what Magna is going through a little bit.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think we most do. I mean, following somebody who I think has a very curious lifestyle and is, you know, doing something totally different from what I am doing, I think everybody can relate a little bit to that. Because you wonder what Magna sees in Stella. What is it?
I know.
Yeah. But
there's a marvelous line that Stella, I think it's Stella, when she says something about why, and I think it has something to do with why she started taking drugs in the first place. And I think the quote is, help me out here, and this is a translation, of course, but found a connection to other people, and it got rid of the knot in my stomach.
Right.
And I mean, we've all kind of felt that knot before,
yep.
You know, going on stage, going on a first date, making that all important phone call, whatever it is. But I couldn't help but think there was a sense of, I don't know, and this is where I think about the parenting, about the sense of abandonment or feeling lost or feeling lonely. And you don't really go into that in the film. You let us decide and ask those questions on the drive home from the theater. And by the way, congratulations on the film.
Thank you.
It's marvelous, and
I
hope everyone sees it.
I hope so, too.
Yeah. So was there a sense for that for you, this sense of loss, this sense of trying, you know, like you said, what did Magna see in Stella? Was it that same knot in her stomach was a little bit like, was it love? What, you know?
Yeah, I mean, oh, wow. It's a good question.
Mm.
I think it's a sort of a mix of excitement about because you see her, she has parents that are divorced, and sometimes children some land in between two families. They both have new children, they're both raising new families, and she is like a little bit what is the word in English when you can't see her, she's like a ghost with both families, you know, because nobody is focusing on her. They are focusing on the new children and
right.
So
right. She's almost like in the background. She's always
she's
in the
background.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
And suddenly she gets to know Stella, who is living a very daring life, totally different from what she is dealing with right now. She's getting bored from the school and everything. So I think from the beginning, she is both attracted to Stella, but more attracted to that Stella is really seeing her.
For who she is.
For who she is.
Or at least giving her the sense that that's what she's
doing. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
That is the start of it. And then, you know, step by step, things happen and escalate and I was actually more like a Stella when I was a teenager. I got the guys to follow me a little bit.
Right.
I was the
right.
first one to drink. And,
right.
And so I know how it works. I know how to put up how exciting it is to
right.
try
right.
new things and stuff like that. And when you're a teenager, you don't see the consequences of anything that you do because there is no tomorrow.
Mm.
Everything you do has no consequences. So it is no problem to go this path. You're not seeing ahead of you what is going, you know, what is the consequences of doing drugs or breaking in or whatever. So it's always exciting to work with those elements. I did a teenage film a couple of years ago about a gay boy who was, you know, coming out of the closet and stuff like that. And that was the same element. If his hairdo was not good,
Sorry, we had we'll work on that. Maybe we'll edit that out. But a little quick interrupt. Yeah. So
yep.
So because you said something about you were a little bit like Stella.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, yeah. But would you have ever? And this is all I'm going to say for people who haven't seen the film. Would you have ever left Magnia at that significant turning point in the film and her story and her life that we do see a little bit of resolve around later?
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a part of me that watches. I mean, I can't tell you too how many times I wanted to step into the story.
Yeah,
and thought I can help.
Yeah, yeah.
And I know that's what you were trying to get. I you know, as a filmmaker, you want me to feel that that life is worth living.
Yeah,
that there is a tomorrow. That there are consequences. That
of course,
I am responsible. Right, which is so amazing about being a filmmaker and a storyteller. But I do wonder about those lines that, but I guess that's the stuff maybe I don't understand,
mm-hmm.
having not ever been a drug addict or
mm-hmm.
having never had a substance
right.
abuse problem. I've got other issues,
mm-hmm.
a truckload of them.
Yeah, like we all do.
Like we all do.
Yeah.
And I think that's how we can all sort of resonate with, I think, the story in the film.
Yeah.
But I'm always fascinated by the autobiographical edge. You know, for the filmmaker, what do they actually put into the
she
the said project. when I think it was Magnia who said, maybe Stella, maybe both of them, that they realized they wanted to live when they were in prison.
Yeah, Stella says that in the film. Yeah, and that is that is amazing turning point for a person to realize that they want to live, because that must be the driving force to keep on, you know, fighting for your life, is that realizing that you want to live. But about that, would I have done the same, left Magna there?
Right.
My question to Stella is she perhaps thinking, I mean, could she be doing a good thing, trying to ruin their relationship at that point?
Oh, interesting.
Nice
way to turn it on its head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
so she was actually almost intentionally destroying the relationship.
Yeah, so she could get out of there. So she could, you know, do something else or whatever.
Yes.
But it was, of course, the addiction that controlled, I think so. It was the addiction that controlled this decision. But I wondered many times when I was doing this scene, could that be? Could it be that Stella was...
That she actually was taking some responsibility here.
Yeah.
And even though this was a horrific way to go about it...
Exactly.
This was the end of the relationship.
Yeah.
Near the beginning of the film, in fact, I think they're kind of pulling a bit of a scam together to make some money and maybe access some drugs. I think she's 14 at the time, 15 maybe?
15.
Astounding to me. I have a 13-year-old and a 10-year-old, and I can't watch film the same way anymore now that I have kids, right?
Yeah, things change. Yeah.
And you hold a shot on Magnia's face, and I don't know her yet, but I can already, I think, sense the pain and the despair.
Yeah.
Of where she's at. Do you think she always holds that intention? When we're in these these places, these dark spaces, you know, with others. And the question for me is how knowing that, how do we ever get out?
Right.
Yes. Yeah, and I'm not saying there is actually there is no black and white answer.
Right? No, there isn't.
What did you learn working with addicts for so many years? I mean, other than a way to tell this new story?
I think all my prejudice for addicts just disappeared. Mm-hmm. I mean, sometimes I thought to myself, and also against the families, because sometimes I thought to myself, why didn't you stop her? Why didn't you say something earlier? Stuff like that. But this is so complicated matter. This is so difficult to deal with. And I don't think it's about why didn't you stop her and stuff like that today. It's mostly about what are you going to do if this happens? And there is no right and there is no wrong answer to that. Mm. And that was what I was trying to tell in the film, that you have to go somehow with your gut feeling in this matter, because there's a very thin line of making all these restrictions and just pushing the child away.
Sure.
So, oh my God, this is so difficult.
And there's a heartbreaking scene with the parents.
I know.
When they're talking about what to do and how to do it and the struggle. And you portray, the actors portray them so beautifully and so well, the struggle,
yeah.
And yet the love.
Yeah.
And the Christmas scene. It's ridiculous. It's just so beautiful.
And my favorite scene in the film.
And isn't that the way it should be, right? To be prescriptive about how to raise families. But we know that that's not always the case.
That's not always the case. And definitely, like the scene with the parents when they're talking together, if I haven't done the flash forward scenes, that scene would, for example, not be as strong, because you know when they are talking together, you want them to just do something about
that's
it.
Right.
Because we
intervene.
Yeah, intervene, because we have seen the future.
Right. Nice.
Come on.
Yes, we have the crystal ball.
We have the crystal ball. And that's why I did it like that with this flash forward. I wanted the people to realize the whole time that this was the end game.
So sadly, we have to wrap it up in a couple of minutes. But maybe we can do an extended interview at some point.
Of course.
There's so much to talk about in this film. Is it a parable for you as a parent, as a storyteller? Is it a cautionary tale? For others, I mean, it is.
Yeah,
certainly was for me.
Mm-hmm.
I spoke to Elizabeth, my wife, within minutes of watching the film, and said, "You've got to see this film. We need to talk."
Yeah, we need to talk. And I don't know. I think this film has made me a fanatic parent.
Are your children allowed outside after 6 p.m.?
No, not today.
That's right.
My oldest one is 17, and I have also a 14-year-old. So I'm there right now.
Yeah.
I took them with me to the premiere on Tuesday in Iceland, and I said, "Okay, now you watch this film," and they were blown away,
wow.
And their friends were like, "Oh my God!" And I have heard from many kids that came to that screening, they were allowed down to 14 to come there. They were like, "I'm not going there," so it really affected somebody. So that's nice, because there are films about these matters. For example, Trainspotting, when I saw Trainspotting,
right.
I was like, oh, I want to try that.
Right.
I didn't want to get that feeling out of the film for teenagers.
Right.
It was.
You didn't want to glorify it.
No, I didn't want to glorify it. No. And I watched Christina F. a couple of times 2 years ago, because that was a film that really hit me hard back then.
One of the most difficult drug films I've ever seen, and it's interesting that there's actually a bit of a genre, would be for heaven's sakes, Requiem for a Dream, Darren Aronofsky's film.
Yeah,
and it was there where I realized just how deep and dark it can become.
I know. And Darren does something that I took into this project, is that I wanted the audience to experience it almost from first hand, because I felt like after I saw Requiem for a Dream, I was doing drugs while I was watching.
Is that right, eh? Interesting.
Yeah,
it was
terrible. So, yeah.
Well, listen, we need to wrap it up.
Okay.
We will. I hope we get the opportunity to continue the conversation. Thank you for, again, a beautifully tragic film, but important and compelling, and people need to see it. Baldwin C. talking here with me today about his new film, Let Me Fall, at the Toronto International Film Festival. Have a great time while you're here.
Thank you.
I hope you enjoy every minute of it.
I do, definitely. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.